Page 94, from the bottom. I think the upper some question you want to discuss from what we have studied so far. Last time we studied meaning of the maha, so from page 91 to 93, in terms of maha is considered in terms of three kinds of emptiness. emptiness of mark, emptiness of dharma, emptiness of emptiness, emptiness of mark. In Sanskrit we say lakshana shunyata. Lakshana means expressing intellectually. So, Lakshana, L-A-K-S-H-A-N-A, Lakshana Shunyata, S-U-N-Y-A-T-A, Lakshana Shunyata, emptiness of mark, or appearance, emptiness of appearance. Everything has its own characteristic. Tape-quarter has its own characteristic, which is completely different from other marks. But whatever kind of thing, their characteristics are based on emptiness. So we say lakshana shunyata, emptiness of mark. From this point, everything in this world, in this world of mark or appearance, there is no boundary, no boundaries, completely vast. This is meaning of the maha. In terms of the emptiness of dharma, dharma shunyata, everything exists in the emptiness, within the emptiness. So from this point, there is nothing to attach. This is the meaning of the maha. So no form, which means no boundary, boundlessness, no soku, no form of soku. If you in Zen, it always expresses the universe with a circle, but no circle, no form of circle. This is vast or boundlessness. And in terms of Dharma Shunyata, no attachment to emptiness. So you have to be free from emptiness if you listen to the teaching of emptiness, because emptiness is exactly emptiness. But if you understand emptiness, we are caught by the concept of emptiness. This is automatically we do. So, This is a Dhamma Sunyata. This is the meaning of the Maha in terms of Sunyata, Shunyata, emptiness of emptiness. I think this is, how can I say? In this sutra, I think emptiness of emptiness means self nature contains the mediate dhammas. Self nature contains mediate dhamma. Thinking the universe in space. Space has mediate dhammas. Simultaneously, all sentient beings exist in peace and harmony. So that is the meaning of emptiness. So you cannot attach to the ego sense, self-centeredness. Always the Maha means completely the vast space, mediate dhammas exchange their own position each other very smoothly, becoming one. This is the meaning of the Maha. So very subtle, wondrous function between among the all sentient beings. That is the meaning of the Maha. Okay. The Prajna, page 94. Page 94. Knowing advisor, what is meant by prajna before this sutra, the paragraph, one more paragraph of this sutra. Okay, good. Knowing advisor, all prajna wisdom is produced from one's own nature. It doesn't enter from the outside. Using the intellectual correctly is called the natural function of one's true nature. One truth is all truth. The mind has the capacity for great things and is not meant for practicing petty ways. Do not talk about emptiness with your mouth all day and in your mind fail to cultivate the conduct that you talk of. That will be like a common person calling himself the king of country, which cannot be. People like that are not my disciples. This paragraph mentions the general meaning of prajna wisdom. So meaning of the wisdom they characterized by two meaning. One is self-nature of the self-functioning of the true nature. The wisdom, it means the self-functioning of the true nature, original ultimate nature of existence. So prajna is not the human knowledge only, but prajna is knowledge open to all living beings, because wisdom is the self-functioning of the ultimate nature of existence. This is called wisdom because it is a kind of principle, but not only the principle, but also it is functioning, helping all sentient beings. That's why emptiness, sunyata means, the Dharma means, it is called sometimes Dharma. Okay? That Dharma is that which supports or upholds, maintains all living beings. So that is characteristic of ultimate nature of existence. So that is simultaneously wisdom. The principle is simultaneously wisdom because it is that which we can realize. So the truth is a truth as a principle, but also as wisdom, because it helps all living beings. Okay, so that is a one. The other one is one truth is all truth. If you realize, if you learn the self, is to learn the world. If you learn the sublimity, the sublimity of human life, it is simultaneously to learn the sublimity of the trees, the birds, all living beings. The one truth is all truth, because it is universal. Wisdom is characterized by maha, vastness, boundlessness. Okay. So from this point, it is prajna. That means to understand it intellectually or philosophically. It is something you have to practice it. So that's why he says, do not talk about emptiness with your mouth all day, and in your mind fail to cultivate the conduct that you talk of. So we have to put it into practice every day. So that will be, if you don't do it, that will be like a common person calling himself the king of a country which cannot be. Those people like that are not my disciples. Okay. So that are not disciple means that are not human beings. They are human beings, but they don't behave as human beings. That it means people like that are not my disciples. So next, good knowing advisors, what is meant by prajna? Prajna in our language means wisdom. Everywhere and at all times, in thought after thought, remain undiluted. and practice wisdom constantly. That is prajna conduct. So, meaning of the prajna. Prajna in our language means wisdom. Everywhere, so everywhere and at all times in thought after thought, since thought occurs in the circumstances, in certain circumstances, times, place. So, from this point, wherever you may be, whatever you do, that means that is everywhere and at all times, under all circumstances, not under particular circumstances, under all circumstances, wisdom remains undiluted and practice wisdom constantly. This is a prajna. Prajna remains undiluted, undefiled, very pure and clean, and practice wisdom because it is always within us. So practice wisdom constantly. The wisdom is, I think if you look at your body, I think you can know how wondrous human body is. You cannot hate your body, human bodies. Regardless of whether you are weak or strong, you should appreciate the presence of your human body. Because mediate cells, nerves, and functioning smoothly beyond your speculations. Interconnected, interpenetrated, past, present, future, the airs, skies, stars, all universe. This is your body. If you look at your body, you really feel this. That wondrous function of your body is called wisdom. Because it's not a principle, it's not philosophical structure of your human body. You cannot, no matter how long you explain your human body, it is not right. So practically, you have to take best care of human body. So that is practice wisdom constantly. So your body is always practice wisdom. So that is prajna conduct, means that is the activity of prajna wisdom. Next, prajna is cut off by a single deluded thought, because prajna is functioning constantly beyond human speculation, before vibration of your consciousness. This is a prajna. So prajna is cut off by a single deluded thought. So usual common people don't realize the functioning of the wisdom, because they depend on constantly the vibration of the human world, fabricated by vibration of human consciousness. That's why he says prajna is cut off by a single truly thought. By one wise thought, prajna is produced. In other words, you can cultivate, nurture the wisdom. By one wise person. Because you have to, in terms of threefold emptiness, I think the first one is emptiness of form. Prajna is considered in terms of emptiness of mark. At that time, prajna is characterized by vastness, no boundary, boundlessness. So from this point, no frames each other. So it's not any frame partitions. It's vast. So that's why it's the prajna remains undiluted and practice wisdom constantly. And in terms of the emptiness of dharma, prajna is based on emptiness. So from this point, in order to realize prajna, you have to practice prajna beyond prajna. We say wisdom beyond wisdom every morning, all the time. We say wisdom beyond wisdom. Emptiness, you cannot attach to emptiness. What you have realized. So you have to go beyond emptiness if you really have arrived. So because it is emptiness. So that's why the wise person can produce prajna, because he can have capacity enough to see minute vibration of human consciousness. By which, you know, prajna is cut off. So that is, he says, and the next, the worldly men, deluded and confused, do not see prajna. Okay. They speak of it with their mouths, but their minds are always deluded. So they can talk. Well, we can talk prajna, we can talk compassion, we can talk Buddha's teaching. But there are many people who don't practice. But I think the words people talk about some aspect of Buddha's teaching are also important, but are not perfect. So we should respect the talks in language. Even though they don't practice it. but it is not perfect. Okay. So wise man, wise person, is packed language, words, even though people don't practice it. So wise person, anyway, respect both language and person. But their minds are always deluded. There, they constantly say of themselves, I cultivate prajna. And though they continually speak of emptiness, they are unaware of true emptiness. Prajna without form or mark is just the wisdom mind. If thus explained, just this is prajna wisdom. Okay? So I think wisdom must be something we should practice. Next page, do you have a question about meaning of the prajna?
When it says prajna is cut off, I would have thought prajna goes on.
Prajna is going constantly.
So how, in what sense is it cut off?
Oh, because it is with you, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work with your everyday life. It's with you, but it doesn't work. It doesn't appear. Just like a diamond, wild diamond, natural diamond. Same applied to the everyday life, your everyday life. I think you have many things in the at your house, and, you know, furnitures and closets and toilet space and pictures on the wall, many things. But I think they are functioning always. Otherwise, picture on the wall doesn't make sense. Space of the house doesn't make sense. So you should consider, you should understand everything in terms of the functioning of existence. But usually we understand everything in terms of concept. So that's why Buddhism, one of the Buddhist teaching is called the interdependent co-origination. If you miss this point, you don't understand Buddhist teaching. No. Okay, next page, 96. The paramita, meaning of the paramita in this paragraph. It is a Sanskrit word which in our language means arrived at the other shore, and is explained as apart from production and extinction. So prajna means arrived at the other shore, which means apart from production and extinction, apart from life and death, apart from origination and extinction. That is the meaning of the prajna in Sanskrit. Here says, when one is attached to states of being, production and extinction arise like waves and water. So attachment give rise to waves. That is dualistic world. Okay. That is human world. That is what is meant by this shore. So this shore is human world, dualistic world, where we create waves by the vibration of consciousness. To be apart from state of being with no production or extension is to be like freely flowing water. That is what is meant by the other shore. The other shore means to be like a freely flowing water. Like at the Blue Cliff Record, explaining about the baby's consciousness. Do you remember? The teacher says baby's consciousness is like to throw a ball to the stream of swift water. So it's touch it and go. That is free flowing water. As soon as possible, we should do it. This is our practice. This is a practice of wisdom. Okay? Practice wisdom. That is called the other shore. So the other shore is not far from us. The other shore is here in this shore, because it is a practice. So when you practice, right in the middle of practice, there is the other shore. Okay? Therefore, it is called paramita. Param in Sanskrit means gone beyond. Gone beyond param. Ita means she who has gone. That is meaning of ita. So paramita is gone beyond person who have gone. In other words, gone beyond something what you have gone. Okay? So, if you arrived, you cannot stay there. You have to go beyond. So, that's why prajna paramita means wisdom beyond wisdom which you have arrived. Because you have already wisdom. So you have already arrived there. But you have to go beyond. Means, if you stay with wisdom what you have gone, I think question come up, like Kali said, what's going on if we cut off the wisdom? But a real wisdom must be something alive in our everyday life. So, wisdom beyond wisdom. That is real wisdom. Okay, next page, 97. This parameter 97 also talking about the meaning of the parameter. This paragraph mentions the meaning of the parameter in terms of the emptiness of the mark. Okay? Emptiness of the mark. And the next paragraph at the page 97, Paramita is mentions in terms of emptiness of Dharma. A good knowing advisor, deluded people recite with their mouths. But while they recite, they live in false food and in error. When there is practicing every thought, that is a true nature. You should understand this Dharma, which is Prajna Dharma, and cultivate this conduct, which is Prajna conduct. Not to cultivate is to be a common person, but in a single thought of cultivation, you are equal to the Buddha. From this point, this prajna, paramita is mentioned in terms of emptiness of Dharma, because everything exists in emptiness. So you have to always go beyond something which you have understood, which you have been. You have to go beyond. Always you have to move, means constantly you should maintain actualization, flow actualization, the flow of activities. So that's why it says the cultivating, in a single thought of cultivation, there is passage, there is a wondrous passage to make your life Buddha. So Buddha or wise, the wise person. It's not a concept. Okay? That is mentioned here. Your book is okay.
So when he says, like in a single thought of cultivation, he's not talking about a concept.
No concept. The cultivation. Cultivation means, here is before the one more line here in this paragraph means cultivate this conduct. Cultivate the conduct means this conduct means the conduct of wisdom. You have to cultivate. You have to nurture the doings, your doings of wisdom. In other words, you must behave as a person who has arrived, okay, at the other shore, because we are Buddha. So we exist in the realm of Buddha land. So we have to cultivate, we have to nurture. Okay? That is conduct or activity of wisdom. So that is a cultivation. So in a single moment of cultivation, in other words, in a single moment of thought, we have to cultivate wisdom, means we have to see the single thought, because each single thought has its own form, its own characteristics, so you can't ignore. But each characteristic is based on no root, so emptiness. So you have to see it, but next, in terms of emptiness of form, emptiness of Dharma, you just touch, but the world, the basic nature of existence is like a swift water. So if you think it, it is just like a throw a ball to the stream of swift ball, swift water. So it goes. So your thoughts are always coming up like that. If you do that, then you can see. Okay? This is a nature. But our consciousness always sit and then try to stay with it. That is an attachment, see. Okay, so, and then, in terms of emptiness of emptiness, you have to maintain the flow of activity, okay? The freely flowing water. Your life must be your life, your thought must be like a freely flowing water. You just maintain that one. That's why it's very difficult to understand freedom or peace, because peace and freedom are just functioning or flow of activities of being like free. So it seems to be easy, but it's not so easy to maintain it forever. It's very difficult. That's why naturally we have to talk about, we have to think deeply. Okay. That is a teaching. Okay. Without teaching, it's very difficult to carry this simple practice. Okay. Next, page 98. Good knowing advisors, common people are Buddhas, and affliction is body. Common people are Buddhas, and affliction is body. Past thoughts deluded are the thoughts of a common person. Future thoughts enlightened are the thoughts of a Buddha. Past thoughts attached to states of being are afflictions. And future thoughts separate from states of being are body. See, in this paragraph, I think the paramita is mentioned in terms of body. Body is simultaneously delusion. Delusion is body, enlightenment. So enlightenment, life and death are nirvana. Nirvana is life and death. Simultaneously, no gap between anywhere. I always mention life and death, nirvana, enlightenment, all exist at the same and one ground. That same characteristic of same and one grounds are very wondrous, mysterious. We don't know how. What it is, how it is functioning, we don't know. But it exists. And also it is original nature of individual life. And then this, the same and one ground, is characterized by exchanging, cause all living beings to exchange their own positions. Mountains, skies, we don't know how mountains exchange its own position with, okay? With skies and the clouds, we don't know. But simultaneously, they do. That is called life of mountain. That's why we are impressed by life of mountains. That's why we learn many lives of being through life of mountains. So life of mountain is not mountain with it. It is manifestation of Buddhas and ancestors. Dogen Zenji mentions in the Sutra of the Mountains and Waters in Shobogenzo, in the first sentence he mentions. But the mountains and waters of the immediate present is the manifestation of Buddhas and ancestors. Okay. So, if the the common people are Buddhas and affliction is body, okay? The past thought, deluded are the thoughts of common person. Future thoughts enlightened are the thoughts of a Buddha. If you have a deluded thought in previous moment, you are a common person. If you have enlightened the thought in the following moment, you are enlightened person. So there is nothing to particular fame or label, because it is original nature, so-called wisdom or emptiness. So if you do it, if you have a deluded thought right now, deluded thought means deluded behaviors, deluded doings, then you are common person. You are deluded person. And if you have enlightened behaviors, you are Buddha. So that's why we have to throw the ball. In other words, you have to see your object. Next, you have to deal with the object like a ball thrown into the stream of water. And then next, we have to just maintain flow of activity, freely flowing water. We have to maintain. This is our behavior and doings. So every moment, your life is alive. And that is most important. That's why Dogen Zenji mentioned, when you witness one side, the other side is obscure. Okay. Just like our ice and water. For example, when you see the ice, that's it. Ice, no water. So when you have deluded thought, it's deluded. So no enlightened aspect of Buddhist. The next moment, but ice doesn't have its own substance. So next moment, if you have enlightened doings, you become Buddha. So that is the water. If you say you see the water, there is nothing. So called ice. So ice. If you see ice, occupies whole world. That's why in the chapter of, in the Shobo Gendo, one bright pearl, Densha, the master, says, whole universe is one bright pearl. Means, if you stand up straight, whole world stand up straight. And also, when the you comes, whole world comes. When you leave, whole world leaves. I think you should taste this one. Otherwise, you cannot have perfect peace. Wherever you may be, in death, in life. When you die, you have to die. That's it. No other world. Even though you have some slightly other world, well, you cannot die in peace. So if you die, whole world dies with you. It's just like our ice and water. Okay? That is always Dogen's intimations, okay, in the Shobo Kenzo. Life and death, or the whole works, you can lead it. Genjo Koan, Dogen's intimation, that one. Okay. Page 100, the good knowing advisor, Mahaprajna Paramita, is the most honored, the most supreme, the foremost. It doesn't stay, it doesn't come or go. All Buddhas of the three periods of time emerge from it. You should use great wisdom to destroy affliction, defilement, and the five skandhic heaps. With such cultivation as that, you will certainly realize the Buddha way, transforming the three poisons into morality, concentration, and wisdom. Okay? This paragraph mentions the meaning of Mahaprajna Paramita as whole. Okay. First one, it mentions Mahaprajna Paramita is the most honored, and the most supreme, the foremost. This is a Mahaprajna Paramita, means you are who? You are, who are you? Okay? You are supreme. You are more honored, most honored, the most supreme, the foremost. Means you can forget you. Okay? Forget yourself. That is wisdom. Perfect wisdom. That's why there is a practice of egolessness. Okay? Otherwise, we always attach. We are very selfish. So that's why first one says the Prajna Paramita, your life is exactly the form of the most honored, the most supreme, the foremost, means you should forget yourself. That is to learn the self. Without this, you can't master anything. You don't understand anything. Okay. Next, it says it doesn't stay, it doesn't go, it doesn't go or come. Okay, means not stay means present. Okay, present. And the not go means past. And not come means future. So it means time. So if you forget yourself, then next you can go beyond time. Without this practice, you cannot understand anything. Naturally, you do. Okay? But using your consciousness, you have to taste this practice. Okay? That's why it says, Prajna is, Mahaprajnaparamita is, there is not to stay, not to come, not to go. This is a project. This is your nature of your life. It is not something. If we say your life is wisdom, so we try to know where is the wisdom. That means you are attached to present. And then we say we have a prajna, but we don't notice. That's why by practice we have to know it. This is, we are attached to the future. Or we say, in the past, we have a prajna, we have already, we are gifted. Well, with, you know, wisdom. That means we are already attached to the past. But it's not the real wisdom. So wisdom means you should accept yourself right now, right here, and you should behave. You should do it. Okay? That means you have to forget yourself, then next go beyond time. Means who are you? You come from past, you come from present, you come from future, you are going to the future. Yes. But it is a part. That is a concept. You are living in the world of conceptualizations. But reality is something more than that. So you have to do it. So that is, he says, next, all Buddhas of the three periods of time emerge from it. This is, then you can have, what would you say, spiritual communion among you and the universe. That means all Buddhas of three periods of time emerge from it. Okay? So, if you do this, if you forget yourself and go beyond time, then you can taste wondrous energy between you and Buddha, you and the universe. That is called Kanodoko in Japanese, spiritual communion among you and the universe. Not among you and some person in particular. Okay. You and the universe. That is, he says, all Buddhas of three periods of time emerge from it. This is a Buddhistic expression talking about great energy. Okay? Feedback in and out between you and the universe. If you play the piano, naturally you can feel special, particular energies between concert and you, music and you. Okay? That is, we don't know what it is, but if you forget yourself and if you go beyond time, naturally you experience this. You should use great wisdom to destroy affliction, defilement. Then naturally there is no affliction, defilement. Even though you go through the complicated procedure, rules and regulations, customs, habits, and your vibration of consciousness, you go through this, through those stuff, but your body and the mind never be confused. Your body and the mind just go. Not by your effort. Something. So you cannot stop it, finally. So that is, he says, you should use great wisdom to destroy affliction and defilement. And then, how can you destroy afflictions and defilement? You cannot do it, okay? You cannot destroy. If you behave according to the Buddha's way, according to this way, then you can destroy naturally. Affliction, the root defilements, drops away, struck aside from the beginning. That is called shikantaza we do. Okay? In other words, you should put just body and mind in the form, then you become straight. With such cultivation as that, you will certainly realize the Buddha way, transforming the three P's, poison, into morality, concentration, and wisdom. Then, finally, you can this practice is to have three poisons, to have great greed. Not usual greed. Greed turn into precepts. Okay. Usually greed is to use our life, another life, in order to satisfy the individual desire. But great greed means to satisfy all sentient beings. Then naturally, you cannot ignore others, because others are exactly concept quality of your life. So you have to share your life with all living beings. In order to share your life with all sentient beings, naturally there is principle, not disciplines. Otherwise you cannot share. Even though you want to help somebody, there is a certain forms, regulation, rules, you know, you can't help anybody recklessly. So, very naturally, your great greed turn into the precepts. That's why he says three poisons is transformed into morality, concentration, and wisdom.